Save big money on your outdoor project now at Menards. We have everything you need to keep your outdoor power equipment running smooth so you can keep that lawn in tip-top shape or enjoy some time on your boat. Right now, all FVP, lawn and garden, and marine batteries are on sale through May 5th. Check out our entire selection of FVP batteries today and view our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals.
Save big money at Menards.
This is the WOKV Ask the Experts Weekend, discussing things that matter most to you. Local experts answering your questions. Call 855-765-1045. That's 855-765-1045. Now, the Consumer Law Hour with Eddie and Chuck Farah.
Hey, Jacksonville, Scott Young checking in with you on another Saturday afternoon. 855-765-1045, the number to call. If you want to be a part of the Consumer Law Hour, our legal experts are standing by, Eddie Farah and Chuck Farah from the law firm of Farah and Farah, waiting to take your calls on all things legal and law related. Again, 855-765-1045 puts you in touch with our legal experts. Fellas, how you doing today?
It's all good, Scott.
Hey, Scott.
Good hearing from you.
Likewise. So what's going on in the wacky world of law, regulation, and enforcement?
We're getting wacky. Oh, yeah. There's a lot going on. There's always a lot going on. But we got a couple things to talk about. Of course, we want to take all your calls and questions, but there are a couple of things we have talked about in the past, over the past few weeks, and we're just going to kind of reiterate the situation with this revocation of the PIP law. The no-fault law. It's now on the governor's desk. It's been passed by both houses in Tallahassee. Overwhelming majority passed it. I mean, it's not even close. It was like, 80-90% for it, maybe 10% against it. The people who are against it are, you know, the big insurance companies. That should say it all. But the governor has not signed it yet. And this is going to have a big effect on you and your family. If anybody's involved in an accident, it's going to be to your benefit because it's going to require every driver to have bodily injury coverage. That way, if you're in an accident, it's not your fault. At least you've got $25,000 of insurance that you can recover to pay for your expenses and losses and pain and suffering. The governor hasn't signed it. We're urging everybody. We're urging all our clients to call the governor's office, send an email, send a letter urging him to sign, and hopefully, you know, he'll do it. I don't know what the word is. There's a lot of pressure from the other side, and but we're keeping the faith, and we're moving forward and trying to get this thing passed.
Now, this is at the PIP revision?
Yes, the PIP revision.
The repeal, yeah.
The repeal of PIP, which is really an antiquated. It was passed back in the 70s. It's called the no-fault law. You may have heard it called no-fault or PIP, personal injury protection. It's an outdated. It's not working. The people that like it because it puts easy money in their pocket. I'm going to tell you that's what it's all about because under the current statute, if you go into the emergency room after an accident, the first $5,000 of your $10,000 is reserved for the hospital. You ain't getting that money. Even if you have health insurance, they're going to run that. They're going to take that $5,000 from the PIP. Then you got $5,000 left to pay your medical bills and lost wages. But you have nothing to recover from the at-fault driver if he didn't have any liability coverage. So this law, I mean, I think only two states in the entire union have it left. Every other state has repealed it and gotten rid of it. But Florida hangs in there because the lobbyists for the big four insurance companies year after year. And this is not something that just happened. This is something that we've been working on for years trying to get repealed. I mean, it's just now we've gotten the traction and gotten both houses to pass it. I mean, we've been pushing for this repeal years and years and years, but every year it ends up having, it just doesn't get through because you've got the hospitals, some of them, because they like that $5,000. That's automatic. And the insurance companies think they make money off of PIP. They're not really looking after your interest. They're not looking after what's going to happen to you or your family if the at-fault driver doesn't have insurance. They're looking at the premium they're making on PIP.
Now, how will this impact the prospect of uninsured motorist coverage?
Well, you should still have it, but at least, you know, only a small percentage of people have uninsured motorist coverage. And you got to pay a premium for it. It's not free. You got to buy it. But this is going to require every driver to have at least $25,000 of bodily injury coverage, which means if you're going down the street on your bicycle and some guy hits you, I mean, you've got at least there's $25,000 there for you to recover in the event you need it and it's justified and, you know, your claim is worth that kind of money. But right now, you're not required to have it. So somebody who just has PIP hits you while you're on your bicycle, you got nothing unless you have uninsured motorist coverage. And a lot of people don't have it. Uninsured motorist is not required. They're required to offer it to you. But a lot of agents, the way they present that uninsured motorist coverage policy to you, they go, oh, well, this is not required. You got to sign a document stating that you don't want it. And really, if you don't buy it, it's probably not that bad because it's going to save you some money. You know, so people are always looking about saving money. They're not thinking about what they need down the road in the event they've been in an accident. That's why not a lot of people have uninsured motorists.
Yeah, congratulations. You save yourself $10 a month and you prevented yourself an opportunity of a lifetime recovery of some sort of a quality of life standard.
Yeah, but the big thing, it shifts the responsibility on the negligent driver. You know, why here I am an innocent person. I have to go protect myself against the negligence of somebody else, of another party, when I'm looking at to purchase uninsured motorist coverage.
And when PIP was first passed, Scott, that $10,000, that was yours. I mean, that way you could take that PIP and you could say it was for lost wages and medical bills, loss of services, and you could use that. I mean, if there was a doctor in Miami you wanted to go to that you thought was really good, you could go down there and the PIP would pay it. And if you were out of work, you'd get some of that money, 60% of your lost wages. But when they came back a few years ago and said, oh, no, we're going to get the first $5,000 to the hospital. I mean, that just gutted it out. What little good was in the PIP policy was taken away by the hospitals because you walk in there and in 20 minutes, you've run up a $5,000 bill. They take a CAT scan and maybe a couple of x-rays. You see the doctor, your $5,000 is gone. Okay. You have no choice. They've got the first $5,000. So
you may not have even needed it if you had health insurance.
But you know how it is. But the hospital knows when you walk in from a car accident, they got $5,000. That's what
they're making you have this coverage when you may not even need it.
Right.
You know, you may have health insurance that will pick up all the bills. Right. You wouldn't need PIP.
Yeah.
The new law allows uninsured or people without health insurance to purchase what is called MedPay coverage,
which is like a PIP.
Yeah. You have that option. You can evaluate your situation. If I have good health coverage,
I don't need it.
I won't need it.
You're right. So it's a great law that's being presented. Again, we're doing everything we can to get everyone on board, and we'll see what happens. But that's kind of what's going on the insurance side. We're handling some of these cases. I know you probably, some people take this drug. We'd like to talk. We do some drug litigation in our office, defective drugs, defective medical devices. We've been working on, the hernia mesh cases. A lot of people have been hurt by the hernia mesh. You know, those mesh cases, Chuck, they're really amazing because the mesh, I mean, the old way of doing hernia surgeries worked perfectly. There was really nothing wrong with it. It worked. Then they introduced this mesh, it's a device. They touted it as some, cure all for hernias and so forth. But as we know, as we found out in the other mesh type products, they start to disintegrate, they migrate, they really don't work. Okay, and but this drug, Elmiron, is a drug that is used. Some people are on it, a lot of people are on it. We have some clients that have taken it, and it's called Elmiron. And it's a drug to treat bladder pain. And what it's done is causes vision loss. People are going blind from it. And the FDA approved the drug in 1996. Okay, that was, a long time ago, in terms of people taking, you can imagine how many people have taken the drug over the last, 20 years, whatever, 28 years, 20 years, 24 years, really, 25 years even.
It has been a while.
It's been a long time. I was just trying to do the math on it. But
math is hard.
Yeah, math is hard for me. I need a calculator. But the thing is, they didn't warn people. They didn't start to warn people about the vision loss until June of 2020. And that's only, that's a year ago, basically. So, so this drug is on the market for all these years. It's causing problems. And the government or the FDA does not come in and say anything about it, give any warning until just recently. So you have for 20 plus years, you've got people taking this drug for bladder pain. People probably, a lot of people losing their vision, not knowing why they're losing their vision because there was no warning. So that's, again, that's the way things work. I mean, sometimes, I mean, we see it time and time again in the drug litigation world. And, that's what, trial lawyers do. They uncover these situations. They bring them to light. They advertise about it. They make people aware. The guy sitting at home that doesn't know why he's not, can't see anymore, is taking Almirin without, this knowledge, without this information being out there, without forcing the FDA to put a now warning on the drug or an attorney's making it aware of what's going on, that people would know and have no recourse. So that's a good thing that the trial lawyers do, I think.
Yeah. And making the public aware. Because you can't rely on
The FDA.
Yeah, on the violator to tell you.
Yeah, you can't, and you can't rely on the government. I mean, if you look at a lot of the studies they were talking to, we've talked about this too, but I like to keep bringing it up. They interviewed a bunch of different scientists from the FDA, and those scientists were saying that over the years they've been there, they've been under pressure on certain drugs to misconstrue the data and the science to get drugs approved. And these are people basically, probably their jobs were at stake. And a lot of the people at the people at the FDA, these are government workers, and they're not getting rich being there. But where they do get rich is when they get hired away by the drug companies. So I've read some articles where the people who work at the FDA don't want to upset the big drug companies because eventually they want to start working for them. And if they're giving the drug companies a hard time, they're never going to get hired by anybody. So you can see what's going on there. That's why you need the civil justice system, like lawyers who come in and uncover the truth and present this to the public and make everybody aware of what's going on.
The doctors rely on the warnings and the manufacturers to educate them about the drug.
Yeah.
And so, it's not about the doctors here. It's mainly about the...
It's not the doctors. You're right. I mean, the doctors are relying.
They rely on the
company,
corporations, to tell them the effects of the drug.
That's why in these drug litigation cases, when you see them, when we've handled them, the doctors are really not sued in those cases.
No,
doctors never get sued. I mean, they're a victim like everybody else. So anyway.
Well, it'd be hard to prove that they were working on anything other than bad information. And as such, it's hard to hold them accountable for it because they're working with the same knowledge pot as the rest of us.
Yeah, that's right. They're working with the same set of facts. Exactly. I mean, these doctors don't have time to go research every drug and look at all the studies that were handled and all the science behind it. They're seeing patients and they're relying on the companies to give them that information. But, let's talk about some good news this week in our office, at least. I know we like to talk about, turn on the TV. Every lawyer wants to talk about, all the money they're getting for everybody. And that's a good thing. Each case is different and no law firm or no lawyer wins every case. But, we were able to get back in the courtroom this week because of COVID. The courthouse now is open in Duval County for jury trials. You can't really do a trial over Zoom. You can't look at people. You can't really read them. It's very difficult to do that, as you can expect. But we were back in the courtroom this week and, we had a case where, an insurance company, was trying to lowball or not pay our client a fair amount in a case. They offered like $60,000 at mediation. This was a very nice gentleman. He and his wife, he was in law enforcement, just a
Army veteran,
real nice guy, worked hard his entire life, and he was in an accident. With a commercial vehicle. And, the insurance company was claiming it was somebody else's fault. They had a dash cam video and some other car. They were trying to claim two other vehicles cut off the truck and that's what caused the accident. So they didn't want to accept responsibility for it, trying to blame somebody else. And, they offered like $60,000 at mediation. And, I think after the jury was picked, selected. It came up a little bit of money, but it was nothing near what our client had gone through. But the verdict came in on Thursday for $1.4 million in that case. And we're very happy about that because this guy's a really, he's a deserving guy. He's hurt. He deserves the money, and it's going to make a difference in his life. So that's kind of a good thing we had going on this week at our office.
But early on, our lawyers were able to maneuver the case to where, you know, if there were a verdict, and, you know, there is a verdict now, but back in the, you know, maybe a year ago, as we were working the case, they maneuvered it to where if we won the case, they'd have to pay our attorney's fees. So not only is there a $1.4 million verdict, but there's a good chance, so that, you know, the judge will have to rule on it, but there's a good chance that our fees will be paid on top of that.
Yeah, Chuck brings up a good point there, this loser pays thing. You know, a lot of people are complaining about frivolous lawsuits and people just file lawsuits to try to get a quick buck. Let me tell you, that's very difficult these days.
We can talk about that. Still costs money.
Well, if you lose, the loser pays, you can try to file a frivolous lawsuit. If you lose, you end up paying the other side's attorney's fees. So you may be suing over 10 grand and could get a judgment against you for hundreds of thousands of dollars in attorney's fees. So, I mean, it's not an easy, the courthouse is not a place to go get some easy money.
No.
I'm going to tell you that.
Hard fought.
Easy, yeah. Hard fought.
Well, fellas, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back for more of the Consumer Law Hour after these messages on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we're back on the Consumer Law Hour. 855-765-1045 is the number to call. If you got questions, our legal experts are standing by. Eddie Farrah, Chuck Farrah from the law firm of Farrah and Farrah, waiting to take your calls. So what else is going on, guys?
Well, we've got a lot to talk about. If we don't have any phone calls, we can move on to some other topics we want to get into today.
We got another topics.
I just wanted to call out our lawyers, Matt Grossman and Wes Ford, who kind of led the charge on that case. They worked hard. They were in the office on weekends, you know, putting in that burning the midnight oil.
I'll tell you that these trials, to be a trial lawyer, you're sacrificing many weekends, and they did it, and it paid off because these are hard fought battles. And you know, everybody reads these, sees these numbers, oh, millions and so forth. But they're hard to get. They don't come easy.
I mean, they fought every step of the way. Yeah.
And with the way the schedules have been backed up because of
lucky to get a trial.
Coronavirus, because of the courthouse closings and all of that, to be able to stay on top of all that information when everything else is backlogging behind it, it can't be an easy job to be on that side of the legal representation thing when you've got to keep clients updated and you've got to keep spirits high and you've got to keep staying on top of whatever developments are going on.
Yep. It was funny because there were some trials a month ago that when they picked the jury, they were in a trial, never got to trial, but they were picking the jury and the jurors were required to wear masks. So one of the lawyers moved for a mistrial because he could not see he couldn't interact with the jurors during jury selection like he wanted to. He couldn't really, you know, see their expressions or how they, you know, reacted to certain questions or answers.
Please tell me the judge shut him down quick.
Well, they did. He called the mistrial, but then, kudos to our lawyers because then we went to the judge and said, because we had a trial coming up right after that. It eventually settled. We said, well, judge, we'll buy clear masks so that every juror could wear the clear mask so that we could see and actually those were worn in this trial. So you have to adapt, Scott. I mean, you know, these new times, these COVID, post-COVID, pre-COVID, during COVID, we had to adjust.
You got to give people their due process.
You know? You had to give them due process.
I mean, they've been robbed of it the last year. I mean, what the insurance companies have been doing, I mean, it's easy. It's a great economic. It's been an economic boom for the insurance companies because they don't have to. There's no threat. There's no jury. Without a jury trial, nobody can make them pay.
Exactly.
They're hanging on to their money.
They can hang on to their money.
Everybody's locked down and nobody's driving, that's decreasing all of your risks for any kind of auto stuff. People are staying home and they're avoiding each other, hopefully that's doing the right thing to limit any kind of medical claims. So not have to pay out on health insurance. It was a great time to be in the insurance business if you were collecting.
Yeah, you're flush with cash. They did a little bit of rebate money. They threw some money out, minuscule amount compared to what they made. But the thing is, where they really made the money, the insurance companies take your, as we know, they take your premiums, they invest it in the market. That's where they make their money, you know? And so you imagine no jury trials, nobody forcing them to pay. Nobody can make them pay unless there's a verdict, you know, and a judge puts a stamp on it and, you know, then they got to pay. But imagine not having any trials. There's no pressure on them to pay anything. They may owe you $20 million. And they're not paying you a penny. They're taking that money and they're sticking it in Microsoft. You know what Microsoft has done over the last year? They made your $20 million.
For a year. They put it away for a year.
They made your $20 million back.
Well, with the courthouse being open again, though, that situation's going to change. Hopefully, it's going to give everybody an opportunity to get some of that satisfaction and some justice that's been delayed for a while.
Yeah, there you go, Scott.
Well, speaking of which,
I like the way you're talking, man.
We're going to have to delay the show for a few minutes for a quick update of Fox News and local weather and traffic, but we'll be back with the second half of the Consumer Law Hour in just a few moments. 855-765-1045, the number to call. Lines are open. Our legal experts are standing by, and we're waiting to hear from you, Jacksonville, here on the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, we are back on the Consumer Law Hour, 855-765-1045, the number to call to reach our legal experts. Lines are open. Our experts are standing by. Eddie Fair and Chuck Fair waiting to talk to you. Give us a call. Be a part of the conversation at 855-765-1045. Fellas, what else is going on?
Okay. Well, let's talk about – I forgot what we were talking about before, Chuck. Oh, we finished that topic about the loser pays. Yeah.
Pays a big – I just want to say, like you said, I think we've driven this home already, but, you know, everybody talks about, you know, injury lawyers and how they bring cases. Just listen, the court system's designed to flush out
the junk.
You know, and
some junk gets through, but it's not perfect.
But it's a great system. Our justice system makes sure that the right cases get pushed through and are resolved in the right way.
And I'll tell you something else.
Our judges here are like,
oh man, tell you something.
We got the best group of judges here.
Ask anybody who tries cases or in the court, who goes to the courthouse. You know, you hear the stories in Miami where, you're looking to get a court date in 3 years and all that. In Jacksonville, Duval County, even in St. John's, really Clay, all those in that area, this whole area, you file your lawsuit. You're going to have a court. You could have a court date in a year. You could be in front of a jury within a year. Unheard of. Really unheard of.
You kind of mentioned that to other firms around the state and even across the country.
Yeah.
And they can't believe it that you can get a case, you know, once you file a lawsuit within 9 months to a year, you can get a trial.
You can have a trial. And, I've talked to a lawyer up in New Jersey. It's like 4 or 5 years to get a trial up there. But Duval County, they move them. The judges are there working.
They're
working, and they're moving things. They're pushing things forward.
Absolutely,
which is a good thing. That's what they're supposed to do, and that's what people want. Which is good. But I'm going to move to a different topic right now, and it's something we've talked about. I'm going to give a different twist to it.
Let me butt in real quick because we got our first caller of the day. Okay. So let's shift gears to that topic for just a moment. We got Sandy in Orange Park on the line with us. Sandy, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Well, this is awesome. Certainly need your advice about this. Back in October on Facebook, I ordered some puzzles. And I read the website, and it said that all those puzzles are made in the United States of recycled United States cardboard. So I ordered it. And then I got a message from my credit card that I had made an international charge. So then I knew that these were coming from China. I tried to cancel that order immediately. I sent them 15 emails. I even told them that I have put a sign on my front door so when FedEx delivers these puzzles, I will refuse them. Well, months went by, and then I went out to my front yard. And right in front of my garage where there was a package, and it was wrapped in white paper. It was from a company. The return address was somebody in Illinois. and it had a postage meter, you know, not U.S. postage stamps, but a meter on there. So I picked it up, and if I had not gone out front and just opened up my garage door and backed out, I would have crushed it. So I asked my mailman what to do with it, and he says, well, take it to the post office and have it returned to sender, and then you will get your money back. It was $65.88. Well, I did that, and I talked to the manager at the Orange Park Post Office, and he said, well, absolutely, we can take care of this. So then he said he's going to scan it, and then it's going to be sent downtown to the post office there. So I kept tracking it, and it was going nowhere. So then I finally went back about a month ago to the post office, talked to the same manager, Mr. Hernandez, and he went out in the back, and he came out with a little slip of paper. And he said, well, your package, you know, I scanned it, and then I sent it downtown. But when they scanned it, it did not have a FedEx return label on it. So they put it in their waste file. And I said, well, what is a waste file? And he says, well, we discard it. We just throw it away. I said, well, wait, what? I said, that is crazy. So I got some emails from the post office. How was your experience and all that? And I wrote them back. And then finally, this one guy, he said, well, there's nothing. They've been lost. It's been lost. I said, no, it hadn't been lost. It's been thrown away by your employees. So then I said, I'm going to write to the U.S. Post Office Inspector General. And then he said on this email, you can't write to him. You're not allowed.
Sandy, I mean, so did you pay for the return? I mean, or a return to sender? I mean, was there a charge for that? Did you pay any money?
No, the post office, if you refuse something, the post office returns it back to the sender.
At no charge?
At no charge.
Are you sure about that?
But I am. Yeah.
First question, though, was it delivered by the post office or was it delivered by FedEx?
It was delivered by somebody. I don't know who. It wasn't my postman, because he would never put that in front of the garage.
Well, then,
FedEx also brings it to my front porch, and then if it doesn't fit in my mailbox, my mailman will bring it to my front porch. So whoever delivered it, they knew, because there's 15 emails. I explained exactly what I'm going to do if you keep sending this thing to me. So
But how do you know who? I mean, why would it be the responsibility of the U.S. Post Office to return a package they never brought to you? I mean, I could see you mailing it back, paying, and having it mailed back to Illinois, and then they would do it. Why would you not just pay for the postage? So I'm going to pay to have this package. Here's $10 or whatever, $5. Send it back to Illinois, because I don't know who brought it to me.
Well, no, the post office, if you receive something in the mail, or as, you know, like I received it just in front of my garage, and it has a return address, and it's got postage stamps on it, or a meter stamps, then you take it back and you said, I refuse this, return to sender.
Okay.
And then they will.
All right, so
but
it didn't come by FedEx.
That's the problem, though. Did it come from the post office? Did they deliver it, USPS, or did FedEx deliver it? Because the USPS has no obligation to return a package that was delivered by FedEx.
Okay, here's what they did. This company, I Googled the address of the person that sent me it, and it was a Chinese name, and it's a building that has a company that receives foreign stuff and then delivers it. Mm-hmm. So what they did, when the FedEx took that package to them, they covered it up, they wrapped it in white paper, and then they put, you know, my address and their return address and the meter post, making it look like it was coming from the post.
The U.S. Yeah, or the U.S., okay.
So when they said that, it didn't have a FedEx return label, because inside the white paper was the FedEx product.
Well, I mean, was the charge removed from your credit card?
No, I tried that too, and then they contested it. It was delivered to me.
I know, but you can test it and say, I didn't want it. We sent it back. Sent it back.
Yeah, I would.
Yeah, I mean, then that way it solves the problem. You don't have the charge.
And a question also, again, did you pay for it by a debit card or a credit card?
Credit card.
Okay, because there are different protections involved in that.
Right.
With the credit card, you should be able to dispute this directly with your credit card vendor, and they should be able to take up the cause and reverse the charge on that.
Exactly.
That's the best way.
That's the way to do it. Why worry about it? Let the credit card company go deal with them, you know?
And if the vendor says, well, then they have to return it,
puzzle?
You can say, well, I did. And you've got your history of your interaction with the USPS.
Right.
I did that. I called my Visa fraud department, and they sent, you know, they acted like, you know, that I should get my money back. So then, but this company over in China proved that it was delivered to me, because it was delivered to me.
Yeah, but you returned it, you know.
Then I could, there's no way I can return it, because they threw it away.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what to tell you. I think it's, I mean, you could take it up with the post office, but, you know, that's a government. You good luck. You know, I would concentrate on the Visa, getting the charges removed off your credit card. That's what I was at. It was not when I took it and I returned it and the post office lost it. That's not my responsibility. But, I mean, but, you know, how do you know that the cardboard wasn't shipped here from America? You know, I mean, they'll do that. They'll ship, you know, cargo loads of, you know, old boxes
to China
and just make it there.
Yeah, maybe they send it to China to recycle it.
Just to recycle it, you know, who knows?
Another thing I'm going to do now, too, is there's a, it's called Sand Bend, and it's on, I think it's NBC.
Yeah, and Sand Bend, Fox News.
Yeah.
He's a good guy. Ben, if he takes up your cause, you'll get something done.
But,
I don't know. This may be beyond Ben's capability dealing with the
exactly. Your best defense at this point would be to contact your credit card and submit another claim about it and raise the issue that you made this purchase with the intention of purchasing from an American vendor. You did not intend to participate in an international vending thing. And by misrepresenting the product, they may be able to reverse your charge. It's a judgment call on their part, depending on how cooperative whoever takes your claim happens to be feeling, or whoever has to approve the claim happens to be feeling. But if they turn it down, resubmit it. Ask again, because that doesn't cost you anything extra.
Right. And, you know, I have learned such a valuable lesson. Never, ever order anything on Facebook. Oh, God. Second time I've been stung. So, it's crazy. And then when I'm on Facebook, I see these ads for different things that, because I'm thinking about buying a new car. And all of a sudden, I'm getting these ads.
That's what happens. Whenever you search, they follow you around.
Crazy.
Thanks, Sandy. I appreciate it.
Not to mess with your head, Sandy, but seriously, next time you're having a conversation with somebody, try a little science trick here as you're having a conversation with them on your phone. Mention that you want to look at a specific type of car and then see if strangely, magically, wondrously, you start getting advertisements popping up on Facebook for that particular type of car.
That's what happened.
Between Siri and Alexa and OK Google and the National Security Agency, there's always somebody listening that's always going to be affecting your advertising.
Yeah, they know what we're thinking for sure.
Oh, Lordy, it's just unbelievable.
Yeah, they know everything.
Don't get me started on the president.
There's no privacy anymore. There's no privacy anymore, Sandy. You know that. They know everything. They know what you're thinking.
And, you know, I'm a senior citizen. I have seen a lot. And our president Biden is not my president. He will never be my president.
Yeah, well.
Be that as it may, it's not President Biden's fault that somebody got you in the mailing system.
It's not President Obama. It is, President Biden is President Obama again. He's mouthpiece.
Okay. Well,
don't get me started.
Sandy, best bet again
don't
is
blame the this, puzzle affair on him.
Yeah, best bet is to follow up again with your credit card and file another dispute claim on that.
Yeah, good luck.
And
send Ben. Send Ben, you know.
Oh,
send Biden. send Biden.
You know. Hey, thanks a lot for giving us a call today, Sandy. I hope you have a great weekend.
It'll get your bubble money back real quick.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Well, that was fun. We got one more segment to go on the Consumer Law Hour before we call it a day. Stick around. 855-765-1045, the number to call. If you've got questions, our legal experts are standing by. And we'll be talking to you after a quick break on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk. Jacksonville, you are back on the last segment of the Consumer Law Hour for today. 855-765-1045, the number to call. Just a couple of minutes to go as we wrap the show. We're going to jump over to St. Augustine and Frank. He's got a question for us regarding long-term drug effects and the injury fund. Frank, you're on the Consumer Law Hour.
Hey, Frank.
Hey, Sean.
How you doing?
Good. It was interesting that what you mentioned earlier, the drug that people were going blind, you know, but it took 24 years to come out with those long-term effects. Presumably, that drug most likely went through the FDA phase 1, 2, and 3 and then was approved. And also what you mentioned with FDA employees and administrators recycling DOA. I believe the former FDA head, Scott Gottlieb, is on the board of directors for Pfizer, which is one of two companies. Pfizer and Moderna to have a very experimental, and in fact, it's only an experimental use authorization that the two COVID vaccines have using a new mRNA technology. And I believe from what I've read, and I want you guys to expound on it, that if you are injured, there's a fund you can go to from the government. But from what I understand, this fund is even more diminished in amounts that they can pay out than other funds have been in the past.
You mean the vaccine? You mean the vaccine fund?
Yeah.
Yeah, very difficult. I mean, it started for, it was a based on the children who developed autism, and they were trying to blame the vaccines that they were giving the kids. And apparently all that was debunked, and they weren't able to connect the vaccines to these children developed autism. So the government created a vaccine fund. And you can get money based on your injury. I mean, there are lawyers that handle it, but it's really an administrative process. There's no court and there's no jury trial. If you qualify, you get money from the vaccine fund. Is that something you're interested in or you just?
No, I follow your program from time to time, and I'm following this current, you know, situation with the vaccines. And I think there's a rule for federal government employees that unless it's fully approved by the FDA, they don't have to try out any experimental items. And that's how I have a couple friends in the federal government. They're like, I'm not taking the vaccine, and they can't make me per this rule because it's an experimental use.
Right.
Authorized only.
Yeah, some people are requiring it. A lot of businesses are.
That vaccine
fund, it'll be interesting to see if you claim an injury from one of these Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson's, can you seek relief of the vaccine fund? Or is it limited to certain vaccines? I don't know. We'll have to look into that. That's a good point, Frank. Thanks a lot.
That'd be a good topic.
Yeah, we'll talk. We'll look at it and investigate it.
Fellas, as always, been a good time. Looking forward to talking to you again next weekend. I guess we won't because it's a holiday.
Memorial Day, my man.
Well, in that case, I'm looking forward to talking to you next time
around. After.
Have a great weekend. Have a great holiday. And we'll be talking to you soon here on the Consumer Law Hour on 104.5 WOKV, Jacksonville's News and Talk.
Save big money at Menards. Let the fresh air in and keep the bugs out with replacement screen for your doors and windows from AdForce. It's easy to install, durable against the elements, and comes in a variety of types to suit your needs. Repair your screens today with a roll of replacement screen on sale through May 5th. And check out more great deals happening now in our weekly flyer on Menards.com.